Hear now the word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "The last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
One of the things that I am most thankful for about being at this church is the level of talent and ability that God has graced us with, and the willingness of people to share that. Hope, thank you very much. Where'd Hope go? There she is. And Robin, we thank you for coming and filling in with us today. And for all of those, all of you who teach, who lead, who work for the life of this church, I thank you. And that's something really to celebrate, that we are all willing to be together serving and working for God's kingdom. This morning, we are going to continue in a series of sermons that are called Tied Up in Knots. And we're in these particular sermons and in the passages of Scripture that we've read, we are struggling with some of the different teachings of Scripture that tell us that God's ways are different from our ways. Or God's ways are different from the ways of the world. So far, we've talked about accepting and giving of criticism and accepting differences in people. And today, we turn to accepting grace. That's not how I would have done it. The passage that Jeff just read is one of the most difficult parables that Jesus told, or at least in Carol's estimation. It's a tough one because it strikes at the very heart of what we have been taught in our work world. We've been taught things like you get equal pay for equal work. We've taught that you demand your rights, you insist on getting what you deserve for the work that you do. Yet Jesus tells us this story to illustrate those principles don't work when we're talking about God's kingdom. God's kingdom is different. This parable has long been called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. But in reality, it is the parable of the gracious God. or the gracious landowner in this case. You see, some people think of all of this is about is the workers and how they are treated unfairly. But really, the focus is on this landowner who was gracious with all that he touched. When you first read the story, you're going to say, wow, that's not fair. But the staggering truth is that the kingdom of God is not fair like we think it should be. And for that, we ought to be thankful. This parable teaches us that grace puts us in our place. Say that again. Grace puts us in our place. We should be glad and thankful that God is gracious. You see, it's harvest time in Israel. And the soil was prepared in the spring. The vines were pruned in the summer. And it's about this time in September that it's time to harvest the grapes. And back in those days, there were no employment offices. There were no labor unions. Back in those days, every little village or town had a place in the center, usually, that was called the marketplace. And usually there would be one place in that marketplace where all the workers, the laborers, the day laborers, would all gather and hope and pray that they got chosen to go out and do a job. Now, these workers were on the lowest rung of the social ladder. They were not regularly hired by anybody. They were probably uneducated, had very few skills, and so they were struggling to get by. They didn't have a regular job. They didn't enjoy the benefits of continual employment. They worked one day at a time, and usually they lived one paycheck to one paycheck. Life for them was hard. Simple, but hard. And if they didn't work, they didn't eat. And their families went hungry. So it is there that the owner of the vineyard comes out, and he would seek to hire these day workers who would work at the going daily rate, one day at a time, and giving them the opportunity to feed their families. So the first workers were hired, as the scripture says, about 6 o'clock in the morning. And it says that they kind of entered into a binding oral agreement for what pay that they would make for the work that they would give. That they would work a full day, and that they would be given a day's pay. Or in this day and time, it was called a denarius. So, they were hired, and they went into the vineyard, and they began to work. Then the worker goes out, the landowner goes out, and he begins to look for more people to work. And the workers come in, and he brings them in, and he doesn't really have the same contract with them that he has with the first bunch. He just says to them, I'm going to pay you what is fair, what is right. And so he does that. The one thing that we need to remember about all these workers, the ones that came in at all the different times of the day, they had one thing in common. The one thing that they had in common was that the master didn't have to hire any of them. He could have gone somewhere else. He could have gone to a different workplace or marketplace. He could have said, oh, I don't like y'all. I'm going to go over here and hire some of these people. But he was gracious to invite any of them and to call on to them and to be willing to pay them a wage at all. You see, God didn't have to invite us to be a part of his family. God didn't have to call us to partner with him in ministry. We're told throughout the scripture that the only reason that God has for loving us and caring about us and being with us is the word grace, the unmerited love of God. God doesn't invite anybody to be a part of his family, to be a citizen in his kingdom, or to be a worker in his minister because he has to. He does it because he wants to. And that's kind of amplified as we go through the rest of the story. The master comes back out at 9 o'clock. He hires more workers. He comes back at noon and does the same thing. He goes back at 3 and hires some more workers. And then he goes back at 5 and he hires some more workers, even though sundown is very close at hand. In fact, anybody that knows anything about business knows that the later in the day that you go to hire people, you're probably going to get less quality. If they had been good quality workers, they would have been hired first thing in the morning. But you know, people kind of get a reputation sometimes, and so they're not chosen. But this man came and chose them and took them and gave them a job. They were utterly dependent on this employer who was willing to hire them at any time during the day. The point is, every worker, regardless of when they were hired, should be grateful that the master was gracious enough to hire them. Now remember that we are in every parable. We are in every snapshot that Jesus gives us in the scriptures, and it's obvious that we are the workers and that God is the master and that we are in the employees and God is the employer. And this snapshot of the kingdom of God and the God of the kingdom, and this is the story that begins to get both fascinating and making people upset. The owner comes to the end of the day, and he calls all the workers together to give them their pay. And he decides that rather than pay the ones who came at 6 a.m., he decides to pay the last first, the ones who only worked for an hour. And so he came in, and he gave the workers, at the 5 o'clock workers, a full day's pay, even though they only worked for an hour. And then the ones that were hired at 3 come, and they were paid a whole day's pay. And then all of the other people who were back there, especially those who were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're getting out their calculators and they say, oh man, if he's paying them a full day's pay, then look what I'm going to get. And they weren't too happy when they got their pay and it was the same as the people who only worked for an hour. And they cried, unfair. And they grumbled. We worked longer. We deserve more. We should get a bigger paycheck. Notice that this is not the cry of the underpaid, because no one is underpaid in this particular parable. This is the cry of ungrateful people. They had made the fatal mistake of comparing what they got with what someone else got. And when you start comparing, you start coveting. I can't say that. And when you start coveting, you start complaining. And instead of being grateful that God had provided for you for that day, you start grumbling because God has given you the same thing that he's given somebody else, and they don't deserve it. Now we see why the owner paid them in reversed order. Because if he had paid them in the way that you normally pay them, the guys wouldn't have known that the 5 o'clock people got the same pay. They would have gotten their money and left, and no one would have been the wiser. But the landowner, God, wants to teach us that we get grace that we don't deserve. And that's okay. That's why there's simply no room for jealous in God's kingdom or in God's family. We ought to be glad that God is gracious. We ought to be thankful that God gives somebody else different things than me. We ought to be glad that God is generous, not just to us, but for everybody in the room. Do you see the lessons that come out of this parable? Do you understand why then it comes to God and the way it relates to us is just grace? God doesn't owe us anything. Deep down, some of us think that he does. Sure, he owes me. I go on mission trips. I sing in the choir. I share my faith. I read my Bible. I give my tithes and offerings. How many of you perfectly obey every law all the time? Oh, thank you, Duke. I appreciate that. Do you always drive in the proper lane? Do you always follow the speed limit? What about those red lights? Do you kind of fudge under them? What? Texting and driving. That's a good one also. You see, I see it all the time. Do you get paid for following all the rules? No. We follow them because they are the right thing to do. God doesn't owe us anything for what we do for him. You should do what you do for him because you are thankful and glad that he is gracious and grateful that he is generous to you. The other thing that you remember today from this parable is that we really don't earn anything from God. Everything we have from God, whether it is eternal life or a reward in this life, is simply because of God's grace. God does not pay you what you deserve. God gives you what you don't deserve. You will notice that this parable has two bookends. If you went back and read the end of Matthew 19, it says, "For many who are first will be last, and the last will be, and the first." Bleh. Let me read that again. "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And then in Matthew 20:16, he says the same thing. So the last will be first, and the first last. Jesus told this story to illustrate that truth. That the first shall be last and the last shall be first. How can one who finishes last be first? And how can one who finishes first be last? That can only happen if the judge rules that they cross the finish line at the same time. That is, if they are both seen exactly the same way, as people who are loved by God and who need his grace. Man comes home to his wife and kids, and he puts a denarius down on the table. And his wife looks up and hugs him and says, "Oh, thank God, honey, you got work today. We're running out of food, and you came through. I know you're tired. I know you're weary." And the man says, "No, not really. I only worked for about an hour." The wife looks at him with a puzzled expression, and she says, "But that's a full day's wage. How did you get that when you only worked for an hour?" And the man replied, "Don't ask me. I just know I got hired at 5 o'clock. I worked 1 hour. He paid me the same thing he paid the man who came to work at 6 o'clock this morning." And the wife looked at him and said, "You got what you didn't deserve." And the man with a broad smile around his face says, "Don't we all? Look at everything you have. Not just material things, but relationships, your social life, your spiritual life, your church family. And accept the grace that God gives you, even though you don't deserve it, even though you will never earn it, never earn it. Accept that grace and be thankful that God has chosen to be generous and loving with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Let us pray. Oh God, we sometimes just get so confused when we try to understand your logic. Your logic is not like our logic. And Lord, I am so thankful that it's not like ours. Thank you for loving me so much that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. I don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. But you chose in your love to give it to us as a gift. May we accept it graciously, knowing that you are a generous God. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.